Thanks for taking your seat. Oh boy, this is a special day. Who's going first? Okay, very good. All right, so we have two mothers, Sydney and Michelle, are going to give their testimonies today. So we'll ask the husbands to come and introduce. So we've got Peralt coming to introduce his wife. So you come on up here, and if you just want to leave this there, unless you're a roamer. If you're a roamer, then you know you might want to put it on. But if you're not a roamer, you can just okay. Just wear that. So brother, introduce your wife.
Happy Mother's Day to all the mothers out there. I'm gonna say that first and foremost, and then want to thank all the ladies that help out with our daughter Arielle. She could be a handful, so we want to thank you again for that. So I want to introduce my wife, Sydney, excellent mother, takes care of us, veteran. She served, backbone of the family. I really have no words to say about her. So I just appreciate everything that she does, and happy Mother's Day.
All right, well, happy Mother's Day again to everybody who's watching. So you can see I'm so nervous right now, and I'm really trying to allow the Holy Spirit to just move. I have so much written down, but I'm going to let the Holy Spirit speak through my heart. Well, as most of you know, I have a daughter. Her name is Arielle. She is almost 4 years old. She'll be four next month. She is on the spectrum. She has level 3 autism, and she is nonverbal. One thing I don't think I've ever told anyone here, but her name means lioness of God. I don't know if you even know that, but the name Ariel, the male version, is in the book of Isaiah 29. That first verse says, "Woe to the people of Ariel, the city where David dwelt." So Ariel is a nickname for Jerusalem, which is where the lioness of God comes from. But I have a cousin, and he always used to say that God's name was stamped on Ari before she was even born, because I tell people this all the time, but God gave me that name for her. I'll tell that a story another time, but it's a beautiful name, and it really stands out to the, I guess what I want to talk about today, which is what God has done most on my heart as a mom, and that is explaining to me, or trying to get me to understand, that God is in control and that I have to let go of control. Which is so, so hard for me. From the time I was a child, oh man, I struggled a lot with perfection and control. I wanted to be, I guess I saw it back then as I was just very organized. I was productive. I was a goal setter. I wanted everything to be planned out and perfect all the time. And I didn't really understand why. I just thought, okay, this is a positive thing. We serve a God who is a God of order. So it's okay to have order and to plan things out. I didn't really realize there's a thin line between having order and being controlling, trying to control everything. When I was a child, I had a wonderful mother. I was a daddy's girl. I loved my father, but my dad struggled with some mental issues. There was a lot of, I guess I'll say that you just never knew what side of him you would get. Angry, aggressive side or the loving side. And I really love that loving side. So I think I would control everything by trying to do my best to get that loving side out of him. I would try to be as good as I could, the perfect child. I would try to be as kind. And if I noticed that, okay, I may get another side of him soon, I'm seeing he's getting a little quiet or I don't know, I would try to control it in that way. You don't really see it as that as a child. You just think you're trying to make your parent happy. But I knew from a very, very young age, my daughter's 4, I remember from being that young, that I just remembered always wanting to make sure I could do what I could to control my father being in a good spot. And then I even noticed I have a wonderful, wonderful mother, but I could see that, I guess I got a little bit of this side from her. I thought that she was always, oh, my mom's just a little controlling, or she's just this strong woman that, always wants to be in charge. But I think she had a little bit of that in her, too, that she also was kind of forced into that role of having to control things to make sure everything was okay. moving forward, I guess becoming a mom, I think we all as women, from a very young age, we think about becoming a mom one day, getting pregnant, and we have this idea of how it's supposed to look. We have a plan planned out. We want it to be this way. It's supposed to go this way. But God, I think me becoming pregnant was the beginning of my sanctification and God forcing me out of this control. Because, I mean, me and my husband were married for, 6 years before we even had our daughter. And, you know, he will tell you, imagine a woman who is, you know, just a control, wants to control everything. But God tells us we're supposed to submit to our husbands as we should. But imagine how difficult that is for someone like me. My husband will tell you. But we made it through. We're almost 10 years in now. But it was hard. It was really hard feeling like I'm trying to obey God. I think in my mind I would say it like, yes, I'm this very submissive wife. I'll show it on the outside when we're in public. But at home, I'm going to put all my ideas out there first. And if he says no, we should go another way, I'm going to find any reason I can to kind of control it. Because controlling something makes you feel like it can't go wrong, because you feel like you planned it out as long as you could. You did everything you could. You mapped it out. You set this goal and this plan months, years, even in advance. So how could it go wrong? But God, if he has another plan, he has another plan. And you just have to submit to that. So once I got pregnant, I thought everything would go smoothly. I was so excited. But by the time I think I hit 7 weeks pregnant, I had already been in the hospital maybe 3 times by that point. It was rough. I was diagnosed with something called hyperemesis gravidarum. But I remember even when they first gave me the paperwork from my first visit saying I had that, I don't even think I paid much attention to it. It wasn't until my sister came over later and she saw the paperwork. And she's like, you know, I think our cousin had this. You may need to really seek some help for this. This is a big deal. And I'm like, oh, it's fine. They're just saying it's like severe morning sickness. It'll pass at some point. I'll stop getting sick by the first trimester. Let me tell you, I did not. I was sick the entire pregnancy. I was in the hospital every week for fluids and IVs to make sure that I stayed alive and I was okay. But I really was confused. I thought, God, pregnancy is supposed to be beautiful. I had this whole thing planned out. Why am I in trouble? Is this my punishment for something? In that season, I you know, really didn't understand why he allowed me to go through that for a long time. But I realized that God really was seeking me in that season. And I had no other choice. When I'm laying in bed, my muscles are atrophying at this point. I can't even shower by myself without passing out. I mean, all I had was God. I had God to talk to ask for help rather than myself. I mean, as my husband, I would send him to the grocery store 20 times a day. Like, we can fix this. I just got to eat something that's less heavy. Maybe I'll do applesauce. I'll try kale, anything, that bread, rice. Nothing worked, but what did work is me seeking God and him giving me that peace, him giving me wisdom of, okay, daughter, you can't keep down water. Here, I want you to drink ice cold water and drink it slowly. See, I mean, I would have doctors tell me don't drink ice cold water, but when God tells me to do it, tells you to drink it slowly, you guys, I was able to keep that. I remember the first time I could do that, my husband came home from work and I told him, I said, look at that cup right there. He's like, oh, it's empty. I'm like, babe, I drank the whole cup today. It took me a whole day to drink the 1 8-ounce, but I was able to drink it and keep it down without it coming back up. And that was from God. He gave me that wisdom. Now, moving forward, even with my labor, I had no control over that. Probably because I got so sick, they had to induce me a little bit earlier because Ari was extremely small when she was born, a little over 5 pounds. So I had no control over that either. I had this set plan. I wanted to go this way, a little bit more natural, but God said, nope, we're going to do it this way. And then, as you all know, Ariel is on the spectrum, and that was the thing that really, I think, fully drew me to God and told me, Sydney, that's enough. You have no more control, and you have to submit to God and his will, whatever plan he has for your life. That was hard. On both me and my husband, coming to that realization that you have a daughter who's going to be different. I always like to call autism, I heard someone say this before, but it's like a hidden illness, because people look at your child and they're like, she looks like a normal child. There's nothing wrong. They may come up to her and try to say hi, and then they may wonder, why is she not speaking back, or why is she doing these different things, like putting her hands over her ears, spinning in circles, or like, what's happening? Why does she not like the sounds, or what's going on? So it's like a hidden illness. You look at her, she looks like an average child, but there's so much on the back, in the background, that Oh, man, if I didn't have God, to be honest, and honestly, you all as well, coming to this church has been a life changer. My family is not in the area, but even the ones who are out of state, they all love my daughter so much, and that is the one thing that brings love, how God says to love your neighbor as you love yourself. I'm telling you guys, the love that you have shown my daughter, the love that my family shows her and treats her like she is an average child. You guys look at us like, why are you so worried? Just leave her here. She's okay. And we do trust you. We trust you all, even the teenagers. She loves you guys so much. But God really sanctified me in this way, even to this day. So the main thing I wanted to talk about, I guess, like the control, I struggled really bad with control, but specifically as a mother, with thinking that I had the power to protect her all on my own, that I had the power to control whatever her future is going to entail. When I first got pregnant, I didn't struggle with postpartum depression, but I struggled with, I don't know if this is a real thing, but postpartum anxiety, fear. I didn't take my daughter out for walks at all by myself without my husband. I thought, if someone takes her or tries to take her, how do I defend myself or defend my daughter? If I'm walking up or down a flight of steps with my newborn, I would have visions of really bad things happening. When we first brought my daughter back from the hospital, she struggled really bad with, she had fluid in her lungs because she was born really fast out the birthing canal. So she would choke really bad on fluid while we were in the hospital. Once we got home, they told us she would be fine. We shouldn't have to worry about it. She wasn't. She ended up happening again one time when I had her by myself, and it was the scariest thing that I've ever experienced, seeing your child not breathing and not knowing what to do. So we rushed her to the hospital, and once we got home from the hospital, that's when my fear amplified. If I ever slept, it was by accident, and I honestly mean that. I may fall asleep for like 5-10 minutes and wake up and think, no, I just left my daughter unprotected for those 10 minutes. I would tell my husband, hey, if our daughter is asleep, one of us need to be up watching her at all times. My husband's like, yeah, okay, cool. And of course, he would be asleep once I wake up, and I would wake up thinking, you know what, it's fine. I'll stay awake, I'll watch her, and I'll protect her, me and me alone. If my eyes are not on her, she will not be safe, and something bad could happen. So the fear, I thought it was normal, because you think, well, moms, of course, want to protect their children. This is how I should be. I'm a good mom. That was me not trusting in God's protection. I didn't want people watching her. I mean, my family laughs at me now. On Easter Sunday, Ari wasn't here. Well, we let her go to Maryland because my brother who lives here, he actually works with autistic kids, but he decided he was going back to Maryland to visit family, and he asked if he could take her with him. All my family was like, yeah, Sydney's not going to let that happen. She's going to pull out last minute like always. Well, I did. That entire week, you guys, I was in so much fear. I mean, I was talking to my husband, like, we just got to find a reason to say she can't go. Like, we got to figure this out because I don't want her to go. I did allow her to go, and it was the best thing, healing thing, I will say. God gave me a dream that week, and in the dream, he basically showed me that he had, even if I mess up, even if I am not watching her, if I have a slip up in some way where I think, oh, no, if I mess up, she's not going to be safe. God has his hand over her. I don't care what anybody's, God loves our children. The way we love, we always say, oh, that's mommy's baby. That's daddy's baby. That is Jesus's baby. He loves our children so much. And God is revealing it to me in so many ways to where it's like, how can I think that if I'm not watching my child, that she's not safe? How do I think? God, oh, man. People always say that your children or you were the perfect mom for your child. But I truly believe Ari is the perfect child. She's the perfect child for me that I needed in so many ways for healing. Oh, man, as stressed as I get and I think, you know, how's her future going to be? Is she going to have a normal future like everyone else? Is she going to be able to love others? Is she going to experience life like other people can? That girl experiences life to the fullest. If you know Ari, she is just so rambunctious. She is hyper. She enjoys every minute of every little thing in life. And I have to see that and know that no matter if her healing is going to be on this side of earth or in heaven one day, God has his hand over her and she is going to be okay. But God, I think, is concerned, Sydney, are you going to be okay? Are you going to be healed through this? And I want to say that this is something that God has taught me, but it's something that he's teaching me and that I struggle. If you ever have the thought that you may need to pray for me, I always pray that God just put my name on someone's heart today. And I know it does. I know because I'll get texts from so many people, and I love you guys so much. But always pray for me, for my strength in teaching my daughter. That's the other thing that he's taught me is that I guess I have to trust in his plan, not mine. You know, even when I found out that she was on the spectrum, I thought, well, okay, just like any other parent, you get her in ABA therapy, you get her in speech therapy. She needs to be, since my daughter is level 3, they recommend her being full-time, all day, every day in therapy so that they can really hound and, you know, start early. Early intervention is key. And we did. We got her in speech therapy and ABA therapy early on. But even before we did, I felt God pressing on my heart. And, you know, I felt God say to me one day, Sydney, you're going to teach. And I'm like, oh, okay, great. That's just a gift I'll have, right? He's like, no, listen, you're going to teach your daughter. And I'm like, oh, okay, yeah, all parents are supposed to teach their kids, right? He said, no, listen, stop trying. Just listen to what I say and just wait. And he said, you're going to teach your daughter. You're going to homeschool her. You're going to teach her with her speaking. You're going to teach her everything because you can do it, and you will do it, and I'll teach you and I'll help you. I'm thinking, okay, God, I've become Moses at this point where you're saying, like, God, you must be talking to my brother Aaron or someone else, because not me. I don't have a degree in teaching. I can't. She's on the spectrum. She's not even talking yet. Where do I start? So we get her in ABA therapy and everything anyway, which, you know, it was good, you know, while it lasted for a while. But I did notice there were things where she wasn't really clicking with her. And I think it was making her a little bit worse. It was overstimulating her more than it needed to be. Imagine having to be in school from 8 in the morning till like 4 p.m., right? That's a lot for anybody, let alone a child. But so I continued on this journey of, you know, thanking God, well, how do you want me to teach her? I don't even know where to start. Well, Pastor Terry, I don't know if you remember, but when we first joined the church, you gave me and my husband a book. And that book was the most life-changing thing. Everything that God told me that I needed to do was written out. It was from someone who is a teacher at the Autism Treatment Center of America. It's a treatment center, but rather than focusing on changing the behaviors of the child, they focus on, one, loving the child, even in their stimming and their different behaviors. But they focus on teaching the parents, because they say that the parent, you love your child the most. You are an expert in your child. Though you're not an expert in speech therapy, ABA, whatever it is, you're an expert in your child, and they give you all the tools that you need. It was all written out in this book, and I finished the book in 2 days, you guys. It was like a 200-page book. And it was so amazing and just eye-opening, and I thought, oh, God, here you are talking to me again. So I have been on this journey of learning how to teach my daughter. It's been very difficult, but in it, God has, you know, I've had to change my plans, because I thought, you know, I want to be this mom. I'll be a great mom for my child. I'll be a great wife, but I also want to have plans of my own. I love organizing. I want to be a professional home organizer, and I want to do these things. And God showed me in this season, your mission and the ministry I'm giving you is as a mother and as a wife. And for a long time, I fought it. I thought, well, I can be a mother and a wife, but I can also be a businesswoman. I can work. I can do this and that. God has told me, you will do what I mean, whatever you think you're going to do, you're going to do what I told you to do. And he has given me the tools, and he's changed my heart to where I have such a desire and an excitement to wake up and teach her every day. It's hard. There are days where I wake up and I think, well, this day didn't go so well. And, you know, you start condemning yourself as a mother. You start putting yourself down thinking, maybe I can't do this. But then I'll look back and think, look at all the progress she's made. She may have one day of where she's like, Mom, I mean, what toddler doesn't have a day where they're just like, I don't want to do it today? And she's no different. So God is bringing me through that, and I ask you guys to continue to pray for me. I guess the last thing I want to leave you with that God is pressing on my heart is all moms out there, even dads too, but two things that we really need to focus on more is not trying to be perfect and to forgive yourself quickly. So in not trying to be perfect, I don't think we purposely tell our kids that they have to be perfect, but for me at least, I think I would struggle with trying to show her how to make mistakes, because, I mean, if I don't show her now, and when she gets older, she's not going to know how to handle her own mistakes. She'll become like me, that perfectionist that thinks if she doesn't do everything right, God won't love her, or she'll just be this imperfect person that no one loves. And I don't want to do that. So I'm trying to do my best in showing her that it's okay to make mistakes. And in that, I have to forgive myself quickly through my mistakes. So God gave me this formula recently that I'm doing. I am really doing my best to actively put it to use. But he said, when you make a mistake, first, number one, you need to. So, okay, I guess imagine this scenario. You're a mom. You're overstimulated at home. You're doing like a million and one things at the same time. And your child is, they're like, mom, right? Trying to get your attention 24/7. Well, my daughter doesn't speak, obviously, but her way in which she does that is she grabs my hand. So she does something called hand guiding, where she grabs your wrist and she'll guide it to wherever she wants. If she wants a snack or a toy, whatever. So every once in a while, I'll be cooking in the kitchen or doing something, trying to be busy, and I'll feel that little tug. And it's a tough tug. She doesn't grab me gently. She'll tug my wrist real hard. And I'm like, oh, okay, she needs something else. And there's this one moment, and she'll pull my wrist. And I'm like, what, Ari, what do you want? And I'll just, you know, you'll lose your temper for a moment. In that moment, God has showed me, Sydney, do not condemn yourself. Those are the feelings we initially get. We condemn ourselves, the guilt, shame. We think we're horrible mothers, and we're not deserving to even have a child that simply probably just wants a hug or something. So he said, initially, repent to God. Repent for your loss of self-control, because that's what it is usually when we're in those moments and, you know, giving into anger. And also apologize to your child, no matter how young she is. I thought, well, God, once she's not speaking and also she's so young, what would that do? God said apologize to her. One, it's going to show her how to handle when she makes mistakes, but also it's for me especially, so that and it helps you guys when I get down on her level and say, I'm sorry, mommy shouldn't have yelled at you like that. And she's looking at me like, I don't even know what you're talking about, but she, it helps you guys, it really does. So repent and then apologize to your child. After that, get over it and don't say anything else. Don't think about it anymore. Don't condemn yourself. Let it go and ask God to help you from there. Hey, God, maybe I was a little too busy or focusing on too many other things than just my child. So try to redirect my mind in those ways. But that's all, I guess. I don't know if I'm forgetting anything. I didn't even really read anything off of here, but I just ask that you guys pray for me all the time. It's rough. I can get up here now to speak about all this, but even this morning, little thing, we're potty training right now. And when I tell you potty training a nonverbal child, it's the hardest thing ever. Again, I'm having to trust in God. We did really well the past 2 weeks. The past 2 days, for some reason, she's regressing. I don't know why. And I'm thanking God. I've controlled everything perfectly. I've done everything right. I've talked to my brother, who's an ABA therapist. He gave me all the tools and steps. What am I doing wrong? Why are you allowing this to happen, God? To be honest, I got kind of mad at God this morning. And I'm like, God, I'm kind of annoyed. I literally did tell him that. Like, I'm kind of annoyed. But then I had to dial it back and remember he is God. So, but it's hard, y'all. It's hard. Every day is a new day, but I really do love being a mom. I love being a mom to that girl, and she is the perfect child for me. If you know how I am, she's just like me. She looks just like her dad, but she acts like me in every other way. But I need your prayers. Please pray every day. Pray for my strength. Pray for my guidance. Pray that I trust in God and stop condemning myself as a mother and giving myself shame. And that's all. I'm sorry if I'm rambling. Thank you, guys.
Good morning, everybody. Kind of nervous. But what can I say? Michelle is a great mother, even when she thinks she's not. And here lately, I've seen her grow. It's good seeing God come back into her life and seeing the things that he's changing. I've always told her, you know, I'm always here beside her, and God's always beside her. And we've asked Miss Martha to read for her because it's going to be, you know, hard for her to read. But if y'all don't mind, I'm going to stand with her, you know, just to support her.
I just want to say that there's a few times in life that God brings you friends that feel like family, and we have not known Jason and Michelle very long, but it was an immediate connection, and I think those of you who are on the team at Mill Creek would agree, and they've just folded right in, and they're like family. And I have watched Michelle grow, and it has been really, really neat to see. So she's asked me to share this because, as Terry prayed, Mother's Day doesn't always bring warm fuzzies for some people, and it brings up a lot for some others. So she's asked me to read this for her, and a lot of thought has gone into this. So here is, it says, my testimony. I was born in California, but was adopted when I was about 3 months old by my real father's brother and his wife, who already had two boys of their own. They brought me to North Carolina. I don't think my mother was a believer, and I'm not sure about my father, but he carried around a little Bible at all times, and he prayed, but neither of my parents went to church when I was real young. When I was about 6 or 7, I remembered that my mother started taking me to a Baptist church. Her sister was one of the Sunday school teachers, and my mother said she had actually been taking me to church ever since I was a baby, but I don't remember that. When I was 8 years old, I understood that I was a sinner, and I wanted Jesus to be my Savior. I put my trust in Him and was baptized soon after. Till I was 18, I stayed in that church, getting involved with the youth, helping my aunt with her Sunday school class, and in general with the church's children's church program. But other things happened also when I was between 8 and 9 years old. My oldest brother and his wife lived in the same house. Actually, there were about 10 people living in the same house. They had a baby, Ashley, and when she was born, my mother's affections towards me changed. Her grandchild became the focus of her love, and she began treating me more as if I were her maid. And I had to do most of the cooking and cleaning and looking after Ashley. My mother was pretty strict with me, disciplining me with spankings and other long writing tasks. Before I forget, my younger brother's girlfriend's brother was Jason, and Jason would come over basically to fish at our pond. I was attending school but wasn't doing that well because of all the housework I was required to do when I get home. I didn't have time for my homework. When I was 18, my dad died of cancer. Meanwhile, my mother had been having an affair, and shortly after my father's death, her boyfriend moved in, and at one point, my mother became quite physically violent with me. So I moved out and went to live with my aunt. I had a boyfriend who would come over to see me there, but I thought I was still doing my share of the household chores and my schoolwork. Apparently, my aunt felt differently because after about 6 months, she asked me to leave, claiming I wasn't doing my part of the chores. Since my mother didn't want me back, I moved in with my boyfriend and his family. My boyfriend and his family were not believers. I stopped going to church, and I knew I was disobeying the Lord with my lifestyle. Soon the relationship with my boyfriend became abusive and controlling. My mother actually did begin wanting to see me, but for quite some time I was not allowed to see her. I stayed in this abusive relationship for about 3 years. I wasn't reading the Word and not going to church, but I did pray and ask the Lord to watch over me and get me out of the situation. Several times I honestly thought my boyfriend was going to kill me. In an attempt to get out of this relationship, I secretly created a Facebook account. Jason saw it and friended me, asking if I knew of any single girls he could date. This part makes me laugh. I'm sorry. I told him I was the only one I knew. We began corresponding, and about a month later, Jason came to get me to move in with he and his family. Jason already had a son, Logan, who he was co-parenting with his wife after they had separated, and over the course of several years, we moved from one place to another, eventually moving to Selma, North Carolina as a couple along with Logan. Allie was born soon after. The Lord used Allie's birth to help me see that I had not been walking with Him, and He put the desire in my heart to not only get things right with Him, but to also bring up our daughter according to His word. Several members of Jason's family had begun going to a biker's church near where we live, so when Allie was about 2 years old, I suggested we begin attending there. We were a part of that congregation for about 9 months, actually moving in with a family that had offered to help us get our feet on the ground. Once in a while, we would go stay with an older woman whose husband was in the hospital just to keep her company, but unfortunately, someone misinterpreted our absences and spread false rumors about us. And when we asked the pastor to help us resolve the issue, he refused to get involved. So we obviously left that church and that home, and for the next several years moved in with one or another of Jason's family back and forth. Spending time in the Word was touch and go. Nothing consistent, but neither was it non-existent. We tried different churches and eventually going back to my childhood Baptist church. I think mostly I was concerned that Allie grew up knowing the Lord, though of course I knew attending church was something I myself needed. But things weren't the same there anymore, and on top of that, it was too far away, so we quit. Several more moves later, Jason finally found a good job, and we moved into the trailer at Mill Creek. Jason's boss is our landlady. We moved to Mill Creek in December of 2023 and began attending the Lighthouse meetings in April. We wanted to see if this was a good church fit for us. This year, we decided to be a part of this church, and I can honestly say we love it. We are considering taking the membership class. Thank you all for your love and support and prayers. Looking back on my life, I see how God has protected and guided me in spite of my own sins and faithlessness. And I am so thankful. I'm eager to continue growing in my walk with Him. Is there anything else you want to add or you want to say? Proud of you.
Yeah. Now, do we believe that God's grace is enough? It's more than enough. And do we believe that we need it every day?
Amen.
More and more, moment by moment. And He has it. He has it available. So do not be afraid to ask for more grace. Let's stand. We're going to sing our last song, which is... It's a lovely song for these mothers because it reminds us all that God knows our name. He knows us. He knows us better than we know ourselves, and that's why He can tailor make His grace to our every need. So let's sing this in closing.